Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. John Roberts is community life pastor at Blue Water Mission, where he's been serving for the past 10 years. In 2008, John helped to launch the Kalihi House, a ministry of like-minded people who provide a transformational home for the homeless, individuals recovering from domestic abuse, and other at-risk individuals. Following the Lord's leading, John purchased a house in June 2013 so that the ministry could expand. The original house, which they call K1, would continue to serve others, and the new house, K2, was born. Since its start 8 months ago, K2 has helped to shelter dozens of people while surrounding them with a supportive community focused on life change. And that's what we're here to talk about, life change. John Roberts' life has been changed, and your life can be changed as they have experienced the life change of people that they've been called to minister to. As you listen to him today, I'm believing that God will, in some way unique to you, change your life. That's why we pause at the beginning of every show, to remind you that the real focus, the reason we have the Good Life Radio program, is to lead you to Jesus Christ. For you to know how much He loves you, that He knows you, that whatever you might be facing at this moment, whatever struggle, trial, temptation, disappointment, heartache you might be feeling, brokenness, the Lord reaches out to you. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And John Roberts testifies of the living Christ who has worked in and through him. I do the same, and we believe God can work in your life. And if you are a Christ follower, my brother, my sister, our hope, our prayer is that you would be blessed with some of the insights, the inspiration that John Roberts brings in the name of Jesus. He's a graduate of Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. When not doing ministry, John is a full-time teacher and has been teaching in Hawaii for the past 13 years. This year is his 11th year teaching music at Punahou School, where he is a musical theater and choir instructor. In his free time, John is an avid volleyball player and fan. He attends Blue Water Mission, an interesting justice-minded church. John, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the mountains of New Mexico, Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Describe what it's like to grow up there in the mountains of Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Well, it was quite different than Hawaii. Very dry, very small town. We had more seasons than we have here. We had snow up in the Rocky Mountains. And it was a very eclectic, or at least interesting place to live because of the National Laboratory that's located in New Mexico, in Los Alamos. So a lot of people have, you know, there's lots of PhDs, lots of rocket scientists, lots of nuclear physicists.
How did that environment rub off on you?
Well, I think probably what rubbed off on me the most was my mother. She was always a very compassionate and loving person. And so from a very young age, she started teaching me about loving other people. In that hometown I grew up in, there were no homeless people that I knew of. It's very small, like about 12,000 people in the town. But my mom was always reaching out to people in need and helping them.
Your mom What things would she say, or does she say, that ring out to you? You know, though she's not here, she can still speak to you by what you remember of her always saying. What are some of those phrases or thoughts that she would have?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the main things I remember is one time we were just driving, we were going to the movie theater. We had just stopped and gotten some food to eat. She saw, we were in another town in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She saw somebody who had a sign that said, you know, hungry, need food. She then instantly made a U-turn, bought some food, took it to the person. And, you know, I was, I think, 10 or 11 years old. And I thought, well, that's very strange. That's very odd. But I even at that age, could feel the power in what she was doing. It started something new in me, a thought that, oh, well, we should help other people, not just drive past them.
How did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian very early on. I mean, I would say from kind of the beginning, I felt like God was there, and that I heard his voice, that he was in my life and active. When I was very young, 6 weeks old, my father passed away of cancer. So I never knew him, but I always in some way felt like God kind of reached down and was speaking to me, was alive and active in my life, giving me purpose and giving me his voice.
Now, today you teach at Punahou. The Lord has opened up some unique opportunities for you to be there, and at the same time to do what you're doing through your ministry. Talk to us about Kalihi House mm-hmm. 1 and Kalihi House 2. How did that all start?
Well, my first experience with homelessness, or at least reaching out to people who are homeless or houseless, happened years ago, I would guess about 12 years ago. Here in Hawaii. One of my friends was doing a peanut butter and jelly outreach down in Waikiki, and she suggested that I come along with her. I didn't really want to go. I thought, well, that's good to reach out to homeless people. That's good to be kind and give people food who are hungry. It's all over the Bible. You know, it's throughout the whole Bible, the idea of helping the poor and helping those in need. But I didn't really feel personally called to it. But she kept asking me, so I went down once, and I didn't have a very good experience. I remember handing a sandwich to someone, and they continued to talk about how, I think it was President Bush at the time, you know, President Bush was really an alien, and asking me if I was an alien, and it was a rather dramatic experience. I left and thought, well, I won't do that again. You know,
dramatic and traumatic.
Yes. And I thought, well, God, it's great that we're supposed to care for people, especially the poor, but you can call some other people to do it. I like to share that story because people just assume I've always been kind of gung-ho about the idea of helping somebody, specifically somebody who might be homeless at the time, to get back on their feet. But years ago, that was not something that I felt very called to. But then day by day, through my church, through my community, I started to meet more and more people who were homeless. One started coming to my small group that I would lead, that I still lead. And that was interesting. You know, one time during Bible study, I was fearlessly leading, on Acts 5 or something. And he says, "This is boring." He said something a little bit more than that. "This is boring," but that's what we can say on there. And then he wheeled himself into the other room and started eating the food that we had out. And I had
to just excuse himself, right?
Yes, yeah.
Probably excuse himself without even asking, right?
Yes. And this was my experience for a little bit. But after a little while, we grew to love, you know, this man. He became a strong feature of the church, and about a year later he became a part of our prayer team. He became alive with God.
Wow.
And it was just day by day that we saw this change. One day I remember looking at one of my ministry friends at the time, one of the strongest leaders, and he said, you know, this guy is no longer off. like somewhere along the way, through being a part of Christian community, through that small group, and through coming to church, his life started to change. He got back on his feet. And he just became somebody who could interact much differently at small group. In fact, then later, this is, you know, about a year later, we were doing a prayer time. One of the girls who had come to our small group was very sad, very depressed, very stuck in life, felt very trapped. And we were praying, and the homeless man just put his hand on her and said, you know, you don't have anything to fear. You don't have anything to worry about. You know, God is with you. You don't have to worry, just like the birds of the air, just like the flowers of the field. And it was beautiful to see this ministry happening. So through situations like that, I started to realize, well, you know, to do homeless ministry isn't to just hand somebody a sandwich. It's to have life-on-life ministry. And then in 2008, me and some friends, you know, who are kind of like-minded, decided, well, let's start a house. The original idea of the house was let's live in an intentional community and let's try and love our neighbors. You know, let's move into a part of town where other people may not want to live because, you know, they feel like it's a little too dangerous. Let's go to one of the streets that's known for being more dangerous and let's try and bring God's light to neighbors and also try and live, put into practice all the things we read about in the Bible.
You're listening to John Roberts. And John is one of those who is not just talking about living the Christian life, he's living it. As you can tell, he's a man of action, a man of conviction. But we need people like him to show us what it really means to live the life of Christ. Now, he wouldn't even say that it's some extraordinary thing, but to me it is. And I know that to you, perhaps, it is. And I think we should look at that and say, well, God, what are you trying to say to me in a situation like this? Do you have a message for me? There are such great needs out there. Do you want me to interface with these needs in some form, some fashion? John Roberts, a man of faith, a man of generosity. He's a part of Blue Water Mission. He's a community life pastor there. And you can see why. When we come back, John will share more about the Kalihi House that the Lord has called him to start. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, most people, if they had the resources to buy a house, let's say you could buy a five, six, maybe seven-bedroom house. You had the means, the wherewithal to acquire that. How many people do you think would actually do it and say, well, I'm gonna buy it so that other people can live in the house with me, but not people that have all that have their life together, but people who are broken, people whose lives are disheveled, as their hair and their faces may be a bit off kilter. I'm going to take these people in and share with them the love of Christ, and let them live with me, and I will live with them. We will share in community together, and then see lives change by the power of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the gospel made alive. I love to see that. Wouldn't you? Someone living like that? Well, I've got someone in studio today who's living like that. His name is John Roberts. He's the community life pastor at Blue Water Mission. John has also been teaching. He's in his 11th year teaching at Punahou School, where he's the musical theater and choir instructor. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. It's a blessing that you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now, you can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get the free podcast, and as I typically say, you know what, listen to it and pass it on. Share it with a family member or friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. John, what's it like? You know, what's it like to, how do you meet someone that's homeless, and how do they end up in your home, living with you? Let me shadow you. Take me on your journey and take our listeners on a journey of that experience.
Well, we have in our house, we have women, children, you know, men. We have a mix of all different people. So for me to take someone in, I have to have some relationship with them. However, there have been times where I've taken someone in and had no relationship with them, in which case I just have to trust the Lord. And then I listen very well. And if I at all feel that the Lord says something, to do something, whether it's to give them a week, give them longer, help them get in rehab, whatever the goals are for their time in the house, I will do it instantly. But, you know, as a house, we have to kind of, one of my jobs is to make sure that it's a safe place. One of our philosophies is that it's a home, and how powerful it is for someone to come to a home, not to a program, not to a shelter, but a home, which is what, you know, Jesus, I think, offered to people. He offered them family. He offered the community. He said, you know, who is my brother or sister or mother, those who do the will of the Lord. So we try and offer everyone who comes in our house that opportunity. We have two kinds of groups of people in the house. It's a very inelegant way of kind of categorizing people, but we have people that we see as ministers, people that we see as, you know, helpers in the mission, and we have people that we see as needing help. Now, all of us, we're very humble about it. All of us are ministers. All of us are called to be ministers of God, of God's kingdom. All of us are also in need of help. So we're very humble about those lines, but we try and prioritize the extremes of both. So someone who has no other place to live, and I've gotten calls, you know, just a single mother who was outside of the school and she had no place to go. She was actually with her son, who was about five, outside of his school, Lanakila School, had just gotten kicked out of her house, had nowhere else, living paycheck to paycheck, and didn't have any family on island. And I went and picked her up, you know, and brought her to the house. And, you know, that was a big risk for her. It was a big risk for us. It went really well. We were able to get her reunited with her family. She was able to get money to fly back to the mainland. But that was rather sobering. They were outside of their school just waiting. When I drove up, the kid was just holding his teddy bear, just what little they had, and just waiting, just hoping that they'd find a place for the night. And if not, they were just going to sleep at the school so that he wouldn't be late for school in the morning. So we have extreme cases like that. We have also people who asked to be in the house. We've had probably over 60 people since we've started the house, would be my guess, who have inquired. These are also people who are very much able to find another job. I mean, another place to live, people with stable jobs. We've had people who are, you know, some of my main supports in the house are like an electrician. We have a teacher. We have someone who's currently in college. We have a lawyer. Just a breadth of life there. And that's the goal, to have people walk into a community, to have it be a family that's rather large. So the way that I first end up meeting somebody can be all different things. But the way I first kind of got into this situation, I decided with a friend that I would, we just felt kind of led by God, which was rather crazy, but we felt led by God to try and live homeless for a week. We just felt like the Lord said, you know, you have some homeless people around you, you have some, you know, a heart for this, but you really don't, you haven't walked a mile in anyone's shoes who's homeless. So for a week, we left all of our belongings. For a week, we left our, you know, any money we had, our IDs.
So no money, no nothing.
Yeah, no cell phone. We only told, of course, we didn't tell anyone except for Pastor Jordan Singh. Just in
how
case,
many of you guys were doing this
just,
experiment?
Just two of us. And, you know, we didn't tell our families, who would have thought we were crazy, which, you know, maybe we are a bit crazy. You know, the idea was to look at homelessness. Of course, we could never really experience homelessness mm-hmm. because we knew the whole time we have this great safety net. Mm-hmm. You know, we did it very humbly. But through that experience, we got to meet a lot of people who were on the street, and we made a lot of friends. I had also opened my eyes in a way that I hadn't realized before, you know, of how hard the homeless life is. Of course, we all know that, but it's one thing to experience it.
Hard how? When you say hard, what do you mean?
So one of the stories that was most difficult was noticing how people who I would think would be, might be helpful or might be kind, just really ignored me. And so how if I got attention, you know, people who had, let's just say people who had money, you know, people who have a stable job, they would either look away because they maybe felt some shame for me or because they, you know, it was a hard situation for them to look at. And I understand that. You know, I understand that homelessness is a very hard issue. It's a very big issue for us in Hawaii. But I would notice either people would ignore me and kind of look away, and so I felt very rejected. Or people would, if they gave me attention, they would give me negative attention. One time there was a rather beautiful woman who was walking, and we had decided that we would beg for money, that we would actually ask. To live homeless is hard. To beg for money while living homeless is incredibly difficult. You know, people shouldn't have to beg, right? Animals beg. Animals beg for food. But we have this idea people don't. It, even though I know the whole time in my head, you know, this is just an experiment. This is just a week. You know, soon I'll be going home to my house. I'll have all the food I can ever eat. It was still incredibly incredibly shameful and incredibly difficult to do. And this beautiful woman's walking down the street, and I just couldn't quite get up the guts to actually ask her because I didn't want to be rejected by her. Now, my buddy who's with me is much more brave, and he says to her, hey, I'm hungry. Do you have any spare change or any food? And she stopped, and she looked at us, and she said, no, I've already eaten today. And then she turned around and kept walking. Just gave us this attention, totally rejected us, you know, no help. Other times, you know, people would take pictures of us, you know, as we were down in Waikiki. tourist. You know, it's like, oh, as we're digging, we would dig through the trash cans. Of course, I had decided when I thought about doing this, that one goal I had is I would not eat out of a trash can. And by about the second night, you know, we were already looking for food in trash cans because we were just so hungry. We wanted to see what it would be like to be homeless and trying to find your own food, trying to find a way to get food that wasn't just through shelters. There are some great shelters that we have in Hawaii, and there are some great places like River of Life Mission that do awesome work with the homeless. But if you happen to be in Waikiki, how are you going to get over there to Chinatown area? So I think through those experiences, it really opened my eyes to the idea that homelessness is not just, you know, and Mother Teresa said this. She said that, you know, the greatest poverty of all is not being unloved, unwanted, uncared for. I'm sorry, is not being hungry and forgotten. The greatest poverty of all is being unwanted, unloved, uncared for. And that's what I really felt. It's like the sadness of homelessness kind of stuck in my bones. I felt for a while like, you know, I knew this is an experiment, but it kind of broke me. It changed me.
What happened, like, say, second day already you're looking in the trash. You know, I'm wondering what happened the third and fourth day. I mean, it's like in this experiment, you're living a lot of life in 7 days.
Yep.
It's a different kind of way of becoming, at least digging into the shallow entrenchment of what it really is like. But John, that's far more than most people will ever get. We would see someone homeless, but you have a glimpse of what it's like, and that has become a bridge of relatability to anyone who is living that way. I am on the edge of my seat, my friend. I want to hear more of what God taught you.
Yep.
Not only that week, but how that has so impacted you that it is now today. You're bringing hope to people one at a time, families, in Kalihi House too. Who knows what God has in store? I know part of the overall, just an organic way that's growing out of Blue Water Mission, One Enterprise being Seed Restaurant, opening up in on Waialae Avenue in Kamaki. That's also part of this. I'm amazed at the holistic way. When we come back from our break, let's talk more about Jesus through you.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry?
Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What if you were homeless? Okay? Really? What if you were homeless? Let's say you had a child and you were homeless with your child, and you felt a complete hopelessness. Your son says to you, "I'm getting hungry, mommy. I'm getting hungry, daddy." And you had no money. You couldn't buy food. You couldn't stop at 7-Eleven. What if you had to beg? What if you had to beg for food? How would that make you feel? What would you hope? What would you hope somebody would do? If you were to do that, you know, homelessness is rampant. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't see someone that's homeless. But what do we do? What do we do? Well, my friend John Roberts, he does something. His ministry does something, and it's and they give. But it's more than just giving a banana or a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And I'm not downgrading any of those things. How important they are. They are important. In line of what he's doing is bringing them their life to change, experience life change through Jesus Christ, but he invites them to live with him, life on life. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. John Roberts is with me today. He is a community life pastor at Blue Water Mission. To find out more about Blue Water Mission, go to bluewatermission.org. bluewatermission.org. John, you're talking about your experiment 1 week as a homeless man, you and your friend. You vowed not to eat out of the trash can. The second day, you're already looking in the trash. What happened the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day? How did things either escalate or downgrade as you continued in that experiment?
Well, what was great about the experiment was also... you know, I've said the Lord's Prayer, I don't know, thousands of times in my life. I've heard it. It's been prayed for thousands and thousands of years by believers from the very beginning. One of the lines in it I could never actually resonate with, which is, "Give us today our daily bread." But when I tried this for a week, I actually had to pray that and mean it. I didn't know where my food was coming from that day. I would wake up each morning, and sometimes also at lunch, and sometimes also around dinner, and pray that prayer, you know. "Give us today our daily bread. God, we ask for our daily bread. Where's it going to come from?" So food came to us in interesting ways, which was really cool to see how the Lord answered the prayer. Sometimes people, once we just stumbled upon a party and they had this extra chicken and they shared some chicken with us. But more interesting to me was the amount of times we were cared for by homeless people. And at this point in our trip, we are starting to look rather, we started out the trip trying to look homeless. You know, we had full beards and we didn't wear nice clothes. We wore clothes that, you know, we kind of tried to dirty and make look like we've been on the street for a little while. At this point, we're smelling, you know, we're looking like we're been on the street for quite a while and not had a shower, which was true for quite a while. And one man, you know, asked me to fill up his water bottle for him. He was a very overweight man, a vet, actually. And so, of course, I filled it up. I brought it back to him. He had a knee problem. He couldn't move very easily. We started making small talk, and he gave me a can of Spam and a can of other kind of canned meat. And, you know, later, days later, when we were able to find a can opener, that was one of the best meals that we had. And I was shocked by this. You know, we didn't really ask for the food. We didn't say we were hungry. He just shared what he had. And as he slept there at Alamoana Beach Park. Another, most strikingly, this was also at Alamoana. There was a woman who was just underneath a shelter area, where, which is normally a bathroom, and she was camped out there with some other people. We couldn't sleep in the grass because they would turn on the sprinklers, and so we're trying to find a place where we can also lay down, but we don't want to enter. We're trying to be very humble and, you know, not just enter somebody else's area and somebody else's really home and their territory. So we were kind of slowly coming up beside them. And this old auntie, I mean, she, I would guess she was as old as could have been my grandma, at least my mother. She, you know, was like, oh, come over here. You can sleep here. She tried to give me her mat, which she sleeps on every night. And I just felt really bad. I felt like I could not take, you know, no, auntie, I cannot take your mat. Like, that's beautiful. That's very kind of you, but you sleep on your mat, auntie. And she said, well, at least take my M&Ms. At least take this package of M&Ms. So she gave me a package of peanut M&Ms, which are some of my favorite, you know. It was like manna from heaven, peanut M&Ms. And I was very struck at that moment by the generosity. You know, this is a woman who has very little, who is willing to just give away her space, even her bed, to, you know, these punk young kids who have just wandered up. And for the rest of the trip, we savored those M&Ms. We'd just eat one or two at a time. You know, that was our rule. We couldn't eat all of them. So those are some stories of, you know, what struck me was how much I was mistreated kind of by society at large. People that usually, you know, I had cops like yell at me, and I would get used to just waking up kind of like, I'm sorry, we're moving, right? We were constantly getting thrown out of places. I was struck by, you know, just how, you know, one time this little baby, you know, everybody loves babies, and babies just naturally kind of love everyone. They don't see a homeless person when they look at somebody. They just see a person. This baby's smiling at me and laughing, and I'm smiling and laughing and waving, and the mom's pushing them in the stroller, and then she sees who the kid's smiling and waving to, and she goes across the street, and she tells her kid, don't smile at him. You know, it was like a kid too young to even know, but they're already getting that training of how to behave or how to treat a homeless person. Now, obviously, I was never really homeless, but just to get a little tiny glimpse of the life was quite striking to me. There were places I sit when I'm in Chinatown, and I sit all the time, and I never have a problem. But when I look like a homeless person, I was sitting there, I was told by security guards, you know, no loitering. You got to leave this area. It's like, it's a public bench. Of course, I didn't argue. I just got up and left. But what struck me was that mistreatment, and then what struck me was the actually very positive and kind treatment by, you know, the homeless people, also even, you know, people who normally we might fear if we saw on the street. You know, I was actually treated quite well by, surprisingly, by, you know, people I'm pretty sure were selling drugs. You know, I was treated quite well by the other side of society. And it really helped me to realize the homeless community is very connected, and there are parts of it that aren't just violent. You know, there are places that are healthy families who are trying to get back on their feet, and how just quickly somebody's life can really turn. And a life on the street is so difficult. It leads people to, it can often lead people to bad addictions. So all of that, you know, was kind of some insights. And after the experience, my heart felt so broken. I remember coming home to my house, and I laid on my bed in my nice, you know, at that point I'm in Kalihi House, you know, we're trying to live in an intentional community. We're doing some interesting things. We're reaching out to neighbors. We're letting people come over for free meals. We're letting people, you know, take showers who needed to, but we're not taking anybody in. We're not giving them a room yet.
Not yet.
And, but I'm laying on my bed, and I, that nice roof over my head, and it's so quiet. And I'm laying there and I'm praying, and I'm thinking of all the people I saw. Each experience, each new friend that I had, you know, the Eminem auntie, and, you know, the man who gave us food, and other friends that we met along the way. And I just started crying in bed, you know, my soft pillow, my amazing, you know, my amazing comfortable bed, and just thinking, you know, this should work differently. You know, in God's kingdom, there's nobody without a home, right? In God's kingdom, nobody without food. In God's kingdom, nobody who feels alone and rejected. And this, I think that feeling was also in one hand, and then in the other hand was the feeling of, well, and also Jesus did his best ministry while being homeless. You know, he moved house to house. He was, you know, for 3 years kind of going place to place. I'm sure there were nights where he slept under the stars. I'm sure there were many times he and the disciples didn't know where their next meal was coming from. And how the most powerful thing in life is having something to give, you know, having Jesus flowing in your life in such a way that you can meet a need, that you can bring the kingdom of God and have it be spread. So little by little, we slowly turned. You know, one of the good friends that I met while I was doing, or got to know even better while doing the experiment for a week, was Meredith, and she lived outside of the courthouse, and we had a great relationship with her. We would see her often, and one day, you know, we would even sometimes take our small group down, and we'd pray with her, and we'd bring her food, and we'd help her with her belongings. She had all this stuff that she would kind of surround herself with as she camped out there.
Why would she do that? Surround herself with so many things.
Yeah. She was always afraid of people hurting her was one thing. You know, the streets are a violent place. One time she was just, somebody came up and hit her in the head with either a bat or a stick while she was sleeping. She was the nicest, like, she was about 60 when I met her, the nicest Christian woman. Just, you could see the light of God in her. So somebody just hit her in the head. She called the cops. You know, she had this big welt on her, the top of her head. And another night she wakes up, somebody lit her belongings on fire that she had surrounded herself with. So she would surround herself by these things, partly for protection.
Protection.
It was also, some of it was, you know, stuff that was personal to her, personally powerful to her. But Meredith, one day we were talking to her, and, you know, she was talking about these kind of things, you know, and this breaks my heart, right? It's like, well, this cannot happen. And I said, well, Auntie, if you ever want to come over for a night, or you ever want to get away, you ever need to just come over and take a shower, or want just a nice meal, like, just come over. I, of course, had not talked to my roommates, you know, but this just kind of spilled out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes out of our mouths spill bad things. Sometimes out of our mouths spill good things. And it struck me at that moment that that was the right thing to say, even though I wasn't prepared to actually commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the right thing. And then I realized, well, now I must back it up. And surprisingly, she never quite took us up on it for quite a while. And so then every week when I'd see her, every other week, I'd repeat that phrase to her and say, if you ever need a place, just come on by. And so Meredith ended up, when we had, they started doing some sweeps of Chinatown, and they told everyone, you have to move by the end of the month. You can no longer live in this place. Because there was a big conference about to happen on island, mm-hmm. as part of the reason. So she contacted me and said, I would like to come in. Now, this was a risk for us, but I think also a risk for her. You know, she had to trust us. This took a lot of trust for somebody who had been really broken and hurt in life. And so she ended up coming in. Very quickly after she moved in, she started to get very sick with cancer.
Oh.
And so we would pray for her. Then one day she told me, she said, I would like your help finding my son and getting in contact with my son. And I said, well, of course, I will help you any way I can. Now, what I thought she kind of meant was like, she's like, I need help with the conversation with my son. So like I'd need to sit in the room with her and just be there with her and pray for her as she talked to him. She had not talked to him for 30 years.
30 years. The story of Meredith and how the Lord used John Roberts to help her. And it was to be the beginning of helping many. This is the Genesis moment as he began to feel in his gut a love for people on the fringes. He had a glimpse of it. And now it evoked in him, by God, God's compassion and love. He's beginning to reach out. When we come back from our break, he'll tell us the story of Meredith. Meredith, who was diagnosed with cancer, looking for her son. John's going to help her. I'm eager to hear what happened, what came of it. He'll share about it when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Meredith is in her 60s. She is being invited to a home. It's to be the beginning of a ministry, we'll call it Kalihi House. And Kalihi House 1. And she comes in, she's diagnosed with cancer, and then she wants to get in touch with her son. And come to find out, she hasn't spoken to her son for not a month, not a year, not 10 years. I mean, we're talking 3 decades plus. And our friend John Roberts, who's in studio with me today, is the one that's going to help her. It's an incredible story of a life-changing ministry that continues to this day, and it's expanding. It comes out of Blue Water Mission, and to find out more about Blue Water Mission, they meet at Paloma Settlement. Their service is there on Sundays. By the way, John, what time is the services there?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Blue Water Mission. You find out more about the church, Pastor Jordan Singh, John Roberts, and the rest of the community there, bluewatermission.org. Again, bluewatermission.org. John, take us back to the story of Meredith. What happened?
So Meredith started to get quite sick, and then she asked me to help her when she was talking to her son. I could tell that also she meant by this that she, you know, she had been told by the doctors she had about a week or 2 weeks. I could just tell in the way that she asked. I said, you know, Auntie, I'm here to help in any way. You just let me know. About a day later, I'm about to leave for Christmas break. I'm going to fly home. I'm going to be with my family in Colorado. And she said, let's try and get a hold of him. I said, okay, I just need, you know, I'm here for you. What do you need me to do? She said, well, I don't have his number. I said, okay, how about, you know, tell me his name. So she told me, you know, his name, Matthew Moore. And then, you know, if you can find him, that'd be great. So I'm like, I don't even know where to start. So, you know, I asked her, well, can you tell me where he lived most recently? And she's like, well, I think maybe California, but I'm not sure. We haven't talked in 30 years, but I really would like to get a hold of him before, you know, before the end of Christmas. And also I knew before she passed away. So I go to my computer and I just say a prayer. And, you know, I type in Matthew Moore, and up comes like 1.7 million hits. You know, for Matthew Moore, there's like football players, and there's all kinds of different Matthew Moores out there.
One O or two?
Two O's.
Two O's.
And I kind of click around. I go to the third page. I say another prayer. I say, Lord, I'm about to get on a plane. I really don't have time to look. This is like my auntie's dying wish, you know, this really needs to happen. You know, this is a beautiful thing. But I can't figure this out on my own. You know, there's no way I can figure this out. At that point, my mouse kind of hovers over one of the, you know, if you have a Gmail account, a picture will pop up. And so this picture pops up and I'm like, well, kind of looks like Meredith. I mean, not totally, but,
and I just some resemblance,
felt,
right?
Yeah, and I just felt like, well, maybe, and that's really funny because Meredith was Chinese, and he's Hapa.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some resemblance, but you know, doesn't look just like his mom. And I just let the mouse hover there, and then I clicked on it, and I decided I'm gonna email one person, and I just emailed, "Hi, I'm friends with Meredith Moore. She's staying with us. I would just like you to, she would really like to be in touch, with her son. She hasn't talked to him in quite a while. Send me an email back if I have the right address. Sorry if I've bothered you, you know, if you're the wrong one." And then we get an email back, saying, I got an email when I land in Colorado. The snow is falling. I'm sitting by the Christmas tree. I see this email from him saying, you know, that is my mom. I haven't talked to her in 30 years. Please give me more information. So we end up talking on the phone. You know, my nieces are running around, you know, Christmas carols were playing in the background, and I was able to talk to him about the house, what was interesting, and about her, and get them in touch. What was interesting is his first conclusion was, you know, well, you must be Christians, which I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that moment. I love that Christians are known for caring for people. I love that his first conclusion wasn't, oh, you must be a Republican or you must be a Democrat. And his first conclusion wasn't, oh, you must be some other religion, but it was, you must be a Christian. And Matthew and Meredith were, they were reunited for the last week of her life. He came here to Hawaii. They spent it all together. Then he had to fly back for work, and she died peacefully about 6 hours after he left the island. And then he also flew back for her. We had a beautiful memorial service for her. And that just showed me something very powerful, which is I would not do these things if I didn't believe in a God of miracles, right? I would not just try and help somebody in an extreme place with extreme need. I believe that God is a miraculous God. I believe that God will help. I believe even more, like, he will empower when we jump into something that we're like, hey, I'm in over my head. There's no way I can do this on my own. There's no way I can figure it out. It also tells me a thing that I know about God, which is that God's just good and generous.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
That he's so desired to have that be kind of her last week.
Yeah.
You know, a woman who's been so disrespected in life and so mistreated, to have that time with her son. And we shared a beautiful time at our house, me and her son, you know, just kind of telling stories after the memorial service. So,
John Roberts explaining how God has used him and the ministry of Blue Water Mission. Lives like Meredith, now just multiply that by life after life after life. Those who are marginalized, homeless, he has brought them in. And it's not only just bring them in and give them a meal. Sometimes it's that, but really to see their life come to know Jesus and experience what a changed life is while living in community. He's living life on life, inviting them into his life. And their life into him. So back and forth. That's true evangelism. Inviting them into your life. My friend, I hope that you were touched by John. And John, I'm grateful that you are with us today. And I want to thank you for sharing your heart, sharing your life, and sharing your ministry with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to John Roberts. Find out more at bluewatermission.org. Until next time, along with our technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.